Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
And I'm Cindy Baldwin.
And you're listening to the midweek version of the Fiber Talk podcast that we do twice a week for needlework artists. Okay, so no stitch hour tonight. And then the schedule for the rest of the year. Now, we get to the end of the year and we take a little time off. So Sunday is Jeanette Tombaugh of Mid Mountain Peak Studios. And she does counted and painted canvas needlepoint. And we had, that was a great conversation we had with her. She's really, really talented lady. So that's Sunday. Next week on the 11th, we'll have a stitch hour. That'll be our last live stitch hour for the year. Then on the 15th, Isabella Strombio will be our guest. And her thing is macrame.
Oh.
And she has a new book. But her new book, and this is why we talked to her, her new book is Mindful Macrame. So it's the mental health aspect of, you know, instead of like every time we say macrame in the show, just insert cross stitch, needlepoint, whatever, it doesn't matter. Fascinating conversation.
Whatever.
Yeah. And she got started. She has a, actually it's in her, one of her names or her Instagram handle. To me, T-W-O-M-E, to me. And when she was raising kids, and I think she still is, anyway, she said, I need, for my own mental health, I need to set aside 2 hours a day for me. Everything goes away, 2 hours for me. And that got her started on this mental health thing. And it was, you know, you're nodding your head. Yeah, you can start to see through the years, if you had said every day, I'm going to block out a 2 hour time slot for me, how that would change the way you approach the days. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, so that's, going to be the 15th. It was fascinating, really fascinating. And then the 18th, we'll have a podcast. And then on the 25th, on Christmas Day, Marg and I are home alone. So we're 2 o'clock Eastern time. We'll do, as we've done in years past, we'll do an hour, hour and a half of just stitching and yakking on Christmas Day at 2 o'clock Eastern time, right here on the YouTube channel. So as we've done, so if people are home alone or sick and tired of their relatives and just want to be left alone, you know, sign on at 2 o'clock and join us and we'll do some needlework stuff. And then, so then from the 22nd to January 1st, then we'll not be having any shows other than that Christmas Day one. And, then we'll have a new guest podcast on Sunday the 5th and then we'll be back in action again. So, little break, if all that made sense. So, yeah. But, yeah, that to me, it has stuck with me. I'm anxious for people to hear that conversation because it the minute I read it when doing research with her, the minute I read it, I thought, oh, boy, imagine through the years if you had said, every day I'm going to take 2 hours for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Different ballgame. Yep. Yeah, hard to do, but different.
Hard to do.
Yeah.
Right. Especially if you're working and have kids and
right.
They've got, you know, games and
yep.
Theater and yep. You know, everything that kids have to go to these days.
Yeah. Yeah. But she managed to do it and benefits. So that's the schedule coming up. And then sign up for the Needle Arts Weekend, March 21 to 23. And weavetalkfiber.com/weekend. We'll get you to the page with all the details. Get your, you know, there's your Christmas gift. If somebody says, hey, what do you want for Christmas? I want to spend a weekend stitching in St. Louis. So there it is.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. And you know, you were just telling me about somebody that was thinking about meeting a friend who lives on the other side of the state of the country in St. Louis. I mean, that's a great idea. If you've got friends that, you know, maybe you live on the west side of the country and they live on the east side. come to St. Louis to sit and stitch and
Yep.
get together with your friends.
Yep. Meet in the
Be a great
middle.
weekend.
Yeah. Yeah. So sign up. WeTalkFiber.com/weekend is where all the details are. There's a rundown there on that page, and then there's a link to a PDF, and that PDF has everything you need to know about registering, and it's was $300, and built into that are six classes. They're all free, so you're not going to have additional cost for that. And then stitching Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And we're working on having someone come and have a shop so that people can do a little shopping. And was trying to get those details together. That stuff doesn't happen quickly. But trying to get that piece together so there'll be a chance to buy a skein of thread or two. And, you know.
Because we always need that.
Right, right. Yeah. Anytime, any place. Yep. So March 21 to 23 is when it is. Sign up. WeTalkFiber.com/weekend. And yeah, we'd like to have people come see us. We'd like to meet you. And it'd be fun to meet the people we talk to and never see.
Oh, yeah.
Week after week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All the people that comment on the live shows.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it'd be nice to meet all those people. Yeah. What is it? Early on when I was doing the Marine Aquarium podcast, I was at an event and I was standing in line with a friend and we were talking. And the person ahead of me turned around and said, "I don't know you, but I know that voice because I listen all the time." And it freaked me out because you don't expect, you just don't expect that. But yeah, so I got to meet a listener that way. But yeah, it'd be great to meet people. So sign up. Sign up. Yep. If you want to make a killing at Sassy Jack's, now is the time. Okay, we talked about the Rise Above the Waters ornament that Jackie DePlessis put together. And that is to, Kim is giving the profits to the local food bank. Because let's not forget that the Asheville, North Carolina area and that whole surrounding area, you know, that flood is long gone and not in the news anymore from the Hurricane Helene.
But it's not long gone.
No. Those people are still, they just, a week and a half ago or so got running water back. So yeah, let's not forget them. The food bank there in the Asheville area, Kim is giving the profits from that. Now the Rise Above the Water ornament. Somebody asked, I saw asked when they would start shipping, and Kim is waiting for linen from Europe. So and then she'll be shipping. So get your order in, and get in on that. It's I think it's $50 for the kit. I think it's what it
Something
is, something
like that.
That. Yeah, yeah. But here's three deals Kim has put together. All right, Kim is clearing out some inventory, and we are the beneficiaries. So she has a sampler mystery collection steel deal, curated assortment of five sampler or sampler-ish, sampler-ish. It's a new term for us, I think.
Yeah,
charts.
I think so.
Yeah, sampler-ish.
So sampler can, adjacent.
Yeah, there. See, that's what she needed, a sampler adjacent. Yes. Okay, so $125 value, roughly $125, $25 till they're all gone. So she's put together some packages of samplers and sampler adjacent. We're going to preempt here and we're going to call it sampler adjacent charts. $25. All right? That's five of them for $25. $5 a piece for charts. So those are pretty good. And then if you don't like one, you give it to somebody else. Then she has another deal, five cross-stitch charts from popular designers, $75 value for $20. And then five charts from the Heartstring Samplery Sunday Stitchers series. I don't know that series.
I
don't know that one. Heartstring Sampler Sunday Stitchers. So five charts, that's a $50 value for $15.
Wow.
So if you like samplers or sampler adjacent charts, marketing, Cindy, it's marketing and you just did it. A big killing. Those are, if you go to the Facebook, Sassy Jack's Facebook page. She has those all listed out at the top. But and I didn't look. I'm sure they're on the website too, because it takes you to the website. So, those are some steals of deals, and until they're all gone. So she's put these things together, and until they're gone. So act quickly. It's just a few days ago.
And it's not old stock either.
Mm-mm, no.
So I watched her video where she announced this, and she said, you know, she's moving stuff out of her basement and finding lots of duplicates of charts that, you know, she doesn't have room for.
Yeah.
So she doesn't have a huge inventory of old patterns.
No.
So these will be up to date.
Yeah. Yeah. You're not going to get one that's yellowed with 10 years of sitting on a shelf age. No,
yeah.
not that.
Yeah. No.
Yeah. Because, when she moved out of her shop downtown, and then she moved everything to her basement, and then that was how many years, 3 years before she was able to get in the shop, something like that?
Four or five. I mean, it was a long time.
Yeah.
Much, much longer than she wanted or anticipated.
Right, yeah.
With all the stuff they went through with that house.
Right. But then she didn't have in the new shop. I don't think she has the inventory space that she had in the big shop.
Yeah.
So because she had some big racks that Everett had built that held a ton of charts, and those are not in the in the new shop. So yeah. So there's a bunch of stuff, and those are some good deals. You know, five sampler adjacent charts, $125 for $25. You know, $25, you'd spend that for one. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you get two or three that you like and two you give to friends, you're way ahead of the game. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. So there you go. SassyJackStitchery.com. There's your deal. Pretty cool. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. All right. You got some trestles. We'll save the other topic till after we talk about trestles, but I got to hear about these trestles. Because you sent pictures. I'll put a picture or two up on the page for this website, and video people, I'll insert pictures on the video. But tell about these trestles now. These are beautiful.
So I ordered them because I have some big projects that my floor frame can't handle. Because my floor frame only has one clamp.
Uh-huh.
And if something is long or heavy, it just can't support it. And everything else that I tried worked, but it wasn't comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
So the company that I brought these from, it's TF Woodcraft. And Mary Corbett had posted, I don't know, several years ago about their slate frames and how beautiful they were. And so I'd kind of been following them since then.
Mm-hmm.
And so I looked around on the website to see what was available for trestle frames. And I kept coming back to these. I thought the price, I mean, they're not cheap, but they are solid wood and they are beautifully finished and they're pretty.
Always a plus.
Well, yeah. And I mean, you know, I could have found cheaper ones, but they looked cheaper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, even on the computer screen, just didn't look like the quality was quite there.
Flimsy. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen several. Yeah. And they look like you're forever going to be wobbling back and forth. It's just not going
right.
to. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
These stand on their own. They are solid. They're not heavy individually. The box was kind of heavy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it took me almost as long to unwrap them and deal with all the wrapping paper. They wrapped every piece in heavy brown craft paper.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, big pieces of that I had to deal with as it took me to put it together.
Yeah. But to me, that's important. With good wood, fine wood product, that somebody protects it so that it's not dinged and dented when you get it. Because, you know, good woodworkers, I admire good woodwork to the nth degree. Mm-hmm. And the last thing you want is a dent in the wood before you even start. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So all packaged up just right then.
Yeah. So they, I bought it from their Etsy website. They also have a regular website where they sell. And I don't think there's any difference. They probably started on Etsy.
Yeah.
And then started their own website later.
Yeah.
I don't really know, but they have a huge selection of different woods.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, it was kind of hard to decide which one to get. And in the end, I just went with maple. So it's a light wood, nice finish on it. I think I'm going to be really happy with them. I haven't actually stitched on them yet.
Yeah.
Because I just got them put together yesterday.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, So maple, I mean, that's a good solid wood as opposed to pine.
Right.
Which is a soft wood and, you know, not necessarily the best for this kind of thing. So, so sanded smooth and finished with just a clear finish.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was the basic wood, and then you can get oak or teak or whatever different woods and pay more.
Yeah, but most of them are pretty much all the same price. The exotic woods, there's the, is it purple heartwood?
Yeah.
Something that's real purple. That one was more expensive. That was the most expensive.
Uh-huh.
And there was another wood that was less expensive, and I don't remember what that was.
Okay.
But I bet there's 15 or 20 different woods that you can choose from.
Yeah.
I was amazed at the variety.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think the website probably shows better what the choices are. Because the Etsy site, I on the trestle page, he showed the different woods, but there wasn't something that said this wood is maple, this wood is oak, this, you know. I found that under the slate frames.
Oh.
But I think there's a page on the website that shows the different woods better with labels.
Yeah. 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 Well, see, all right. So I think we should help people with the trestle part, because typically trestles are married with slate frames. In most needlework, if you have slate frame, you have a trestle to hold it. But there is no rule in the world of needlework that says you can only use slate frames on trestles. They're a device that will hold your needlework.
Yeah, I posted the photos on our Blue Ribbon Facebook page, and one of our members said, I've never heard of trestles. Are they to hold your needlework? And I said, yes. And they're probably the original floor frames.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They've been used for hundreds of years and are still being used by everybody at the Royal School of Needlework.
Right.
And if you looked at any of the photos or videos from the work that they did for the coronation, all of that stuff was on trestles.
Yep. Yeah.
So the trestle is just a support. So people that aren't familiar, you know, who knows what a trestle is. I've been telling them it's like sawhorses for needleworkers.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Yeah. But a key thing, you know, that's an excellent description, because a key thing is trestles. We talk about them with an S on the end because it's two pieces that are separate from each other.
Right.
And you move them in and out according to the length or width of your project. Yeah.
Right. Right. And so I have one of those K's Creations frames that closes, you know, flattens up.
Yeah.
And the problem is that whatever you're working on is clamped in. And I always struggle with those because, as you know, as you turn them, one nut will tighten and the other one loosens.
Yep.
And,
yep,
you know, it's just a hassle messing with them. And I use K's creation stands for years, and I had that struggle with them all the time.
Yeah.
So I like this because I can just lay my piece on it, and if I need to pick it up and turn it over, I just pick it up and turn it over and lay it back down. So then it's supported and I can, you know, tie off my threads on the back or whatever I need to do, and then just flip it back over without loosening nuts or anything else. It just, you know, flips over. I can raise both ends on each trestle to get to a, you know, whatever height I want it to be. I can raise one end so that the piece is on a slant, or I can have them at the same level.
Yeah.
So this canvas piece that I'm working on, From Dawn to Dusk, is really big. And when it's flat, I have a little trouble reaching into the center.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's seen Beth's From Dawn to Dusk. Here's mine.
Yeah.
So reaching into here, you know, it's, I can do it. You know, I did it up, well, up here I could work from this, but now here in these sections, you know, having to reach across. So I think if I can slant it, that I'll be able to reach these sections in the center much easier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. More comfortable, and probably lighting and perspective are better.
Probably. Now, I haven't tried it yet.
Well, hold, keep that up there. What, just a sidelight thing, tangent warning. When you're mounting canvas, Cindy is an excellent example. Tons of tacks.
Yeah.
Use a ton of tacks, and it will keep things where they belong. People, at, you know, four or five on a side, that's not near enough. Ton of them.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yep. Okay, that was it. Tangent over.
Okay.
So that's the other part of trestles, because a lot of times when you see a trestle, they look like unadjustable, unforgiving. I have to sit at this height and deal with it. But yours, no, that's the, yours is adjustable up and down and slanted. And
yeah, I think you could, you know, if you wanted to stand and stitch,
mm-hmm.
You know, the sides have long slots with two bolts with the wing nuts on them. And so you loosen those and raise it up to whatever height you want it, and then tighten the wing nuts back down. So it, some of the ones that I've seen have holes on the sides. This one has slots. Hang on just a second.
Okay, because, all right, that was another thing that I, a question that I had, because a lot of times, yeah, it looks like you can have them in these holes or these holes, but no, yours has, so infinitely adjustable then.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Much better.
Yep.
Much better.
So, now that makes it a little harder to make sure you're getting the same adjustment on the other trestle.
Right, right.
You know, you got to measure or have them sitting side by side or whatever.
Right.
It's not the same as just putting the nut, the bolt and the nut into the same hole.
Right. Right.
But
you
yeah,
can have
it. It is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because see, that's what I struggle with. I think, well, all of my stands until I fixed the Case Creation stand was I can, you know, I'm short and I can never get so I'm comfortable. And finally, I took some 2x4s one day and I built a box for the my Case Creation, the metal stand, and raised it up so that I could have, because I was, all the vertical pole was always extended to the hilt and it was never enough height. So I built a box, clamped the stand on there, and then that gave me some range with the vertical pole. And now I can have it at the height I want. So same thing as you have without, there's not holes, there's a slot. So now you have range to,
right.
Yeah, see?
Move it up and down.
Yep.
Yeah, and the height is so I'm sitting at my dining room table, and it is, I don't have it, the side closest to me, I don't have raised. It's all the way down. And it is just under, maybe about an inch under my dining room table.
Okay.
So that's as low as it would go. And that's where the what I'm talking about is here, where the piece would rest.
Yeah.
This is the part that's about 2 inches below the top of my dining room table.
Okay. Yeah. So the piece rests on there, and then on the verticals closest to you, then they come up above the support slant so that it stops, it holds it so it doesn't slide into your lap. Yeah.
Right,
Yeah.
right.
Yeah. And then for width, you can move it as close or as far apart as you want because they're two independent, well, they're sawhorses, like you said. Yeah.
Right. And if you had it close together, obviously, whatever butt isn't going to fit in between the two, but you
Right.
can put one leg on either side.
Right. Yeah.
So,
Yeah. Okay. Okay, so and then the trestles themselves have feet on them. So they each stand independently. So you don't have to have them propped up and held by your work piece. They both stand there by themselves.
Yeah, so the end closest to me has half a foot,
Okay.
and the other end has 2 feet.
Oh, so you can get your chair and your feet in between without hitting that foot all the time and eventually breaking it off. Because that's what.
Or well, what would happen for me if I guess it depends on whether you're working on carpet or on some kind of hard floor on my laminate, it slides really
Oh,
easily. So you'd
yeah.
just be kicking it out of the way all the time.
Yeah.
And it would probably slide fairly easily on the carpet too, or you'd tip it over. I think this is made well enough. I think you'd have to work hard to break it.
Yeah, okay. That's good.
It would, I mean it will tip towards on, because there's only half a foot on the front, it will tip
Yeah.
one way. It doesn't tip the other way very
Yeah.
easily. But
Nice.
I don't know.
Okay, and then the other plus, see, okay, now I'm getting to me. See, getting to me.
It's all about you.
Well, no, but yes. No,
Yeah.
cuz see, to me the trestle approach is allows me, allows anyone to eliminate other stands and just have one stand that works for everything other than, say, a 6-inch hoop, that works for everything. But then also, because they're independent pieces, can be put away easily without dismantling a whole bunch of things.
Oh yeah, they when you put them together, they probably take up maybe 10, 15 inches.
Yeah.
So you can slide them up against the wall
Right.
very easily. Or put them in a closet, if you've got room in your closet.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're so, and that's another thing, if you're in the middle of working on a project but you need to put them away, you just take your project off, put it in a bag or whatever,
Right.
slide the trestles to the side and you're done.
Right.
You're not unscrewing and all of that other kind of stuff.
Yep. Because see, okay, because see, I, and this is not about me. This is about others. I'm thinking of people who sit in the living room, watch TV, sitting in a recliner, and don't necessarily want that set up all the time, and don't want the hassle of having to spend 15 minutes setting up, stitching so you can sit down for the evening. And
So,
this would allow you to do that.
Yeah. Now, the thing about a recliner is that if you're going to recline, it's working on a big piece that's big enough to stretch across your chair. Because if it's a small piece and you need to have the trestles close to you, you're not going to be able to raise the footrest. So
But
I do like to sit in my recliner and stitch. And I when I don't always put my feet up, but I can with my floor stand. But yeah, I mean, this will work for that. If you've got a piece that is that large. And so I don't think From Dawn to Dusk is that wide because my recliner's pretty wide and it's got arms that are kind of, the rounded arms, so that makes it a little wider. But the other piece that I'm working on that is it's one of the pumpkins and it's on a half a yard of fabric. That's on scroll frame on scroll bars. And I bet it is long enough to sit on the at the recliner and stitch. I just got it. I mean,
Just got
I got it
it.
2 or 3 days ago. I just put it together yesterday. So I haven't.
And I shouldn't have used the word recliner. I mean, because that, yeah, that, but sitting, like, I can't sit in a recliner and stitch. I got to sit in a chair,
Oh, yeah.
with, I got to sit up and pay attention. But it gives you that easy setup, because I have that Case Creation one that collapses all down, that clamps in your scroll frames. And once you get it in there, it's great. But if you have to flip it over, it's not great. And it's this monstrosity of a thing that if you want it out of the way, you have to dismantle everything and collapse it. And the last time I dismantled it and collapsed it, was it got put away, and I don't know that I'm going to hassle with it anymore, because it takes too much. Where a slate frame, you just set it up, you plop your thing on it, and you go, you're off and running. And yeah, because I'm most curious about this, because I'm thinking that I need to get a slate frame and eliminate all the other stuff. All the other stuff goes into storage. Because I have, I have two other stands, and I have that case thing. Just all of it goes into storage. If I'm using a hoop, I use my clamp that clamps to the table. Sorry. Otherwise, it's the slate frame or the trestles. Because,
Yeah, because they'd work with your scroll bars,
right.
when you're working on a larger sampler. They'd work, for a smaller needlepoint piece. I'd probably still use the K's floor stand if I were you. I use my Artisan Designs floor stand or lap stand. But that's for things that are probably not over 12 inches square because then the stretcher bars start to get heavy.
But see that
But yeah, we work on big things, so
But I just love the adjustability of the design of the, what is that, FT Works, is that what it was? FT Woodcraft. I just
T
love
T
the
T T F
TF,
Woodcraft.
TF
Yeah,
Woodcraft.
T period F period Woodcraft.
But the flexibility that is built into that, yeah, because most of them, it's holes drilled on each side, and you put in a bolt or a peg or whatever, and that's where it sits. And maybe it's not where I want it. So, yeah.
So you adjust to it instead of it adjusting to you.
And see, and that's where it's wrong. It should adjust to you, because if you're always adjusting to it, that starts to get a crick in the neck or a hitch in the back or you name it. Shoulders start to get a little buggy. And no, you should be able to adjust it to you. And Okay, now I'm excited. Well, yeah, I was before, but now I'm really excited. Yeah. Yeah. So,
Well, I know you'd said you thought you were going to try to make one.
yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Well, there's nothing difficult about them. But then to have that like that, I mean, that's beautiful wood all finished and everything. Oh, that's hours and hours. And that's a good wood shop where you have the tools. You have a belt sander so you can quickly get that sanded smooth. Yeah, it's yeah. I don't have that wood shop. No. Yeah. Ah. Okay. All right, so there we have it. And if you buy one, mention Fiber Talk. We have to tr see if we can, we have to see if we can get them. That would be good.
Yeah, they make a lot of beautiful stuff for needleworkers.
Yeah.
And they're
Okay.
in Minnesota. I don't know if I
Ooh.
said that before.
No, made in
Yeah,
America.
it's made in America.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty sure he makes everything to order. It took about a month to get these.
Okay. That's
So.
yeah, that's making to order then. Yeah. Yeah, these days, yeah. Which is that's okay too. That's okay
Oh
too.
yeah.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
I mean, I wasn't desperate for it. I didn't work on my big projects
But you
just
found some
because
small ones. Okay.
too many other things to work on. It's never a problem to find something to work on.
She toughed it out, folks. She toughed it out. Oh. All right, there you have it. TF Woodcraft on Etsy, or they have their own website, trestles and slate frames if you want them. And I have to look now and see what other stuff. Love, well, good woodcraft. Well finished wood is, I'm a sucker for it every time. Yeah. Can't beat it. So, yep. All right. Now I got something to spend money on because up till now I had nothing. And,
Merry Christmas to me.
yeah, no kidding. No kidding. Wow. All right. Before we started, this is one of those Facebook things that annoys me to no end. About a half hour before we started recording, I found on Facebook, I think it was Needlepoint Nation, but I can't swear to it and I can't find it, was a post where a lady had posted that she bought a painted canvas at a shop and then wanted it kitted. And the shop was going to charge a fee for kitting the canvas. I'd never heard of that.
No, I haven't either.
No. And she asked if that was normal. And Melissa McLeod, pointing it out, point of it all, needlework, right? In Detroit area.
Point. Now I'm confused too.
I screwed it up.
I think it's pointing it out, but
I think you're right.
I'm not
I think
positive.
you're right. Anyway, she did a long post, and I was reading it, and then my phone went to sleep because I had to go do something else, and I came back, and Facebook kindly re-racked to the most recent post, and then I couldn't find it again. But the gist of what Melissa had to say, pointing it out, I think it's pointing it out. This is
Yeah,
going
I
to
think
drive me
so.
nuts, but no time to look it up. The gist of what she had to say is she would never charge for that, for kitting. But it was an interesting thing. It's a lengthy post that she did because she said that the profit for needlepoint shops, painted canvas shops, is in the canvas, that the margins on the threads are pretty narrow, which you would expect that. You know, and like DMC, thank you, Joanne's Fabric, you know, you can't charge. So, and then she had been told by someone, And then she listed like six figures worth of thread inventory that she carries at any one time.
Oh, yeah.
Which you can imagine, you know, if you got two or three lines and all the colors and multiple skeins of each one, yeah, you're gonna rack up some dollars. It's just sitting there hoping somebody will buy a canvas and buy the threads, you know? And she said that someone had told her that the labor it takes to kit a canvas will, that's time. Time is money. Will, I don't remember if she said, will either, it will greatly reduce your profit, if not eliminate your profit on that canvas, if you figure in your labor. And you can see how that
Well,
would happen.
and then so there's two things about kitting. One is there's a stitch guide. So all you have to do is pull the threads in the stitch guide. The other is there's no stitch guide, and they have to decide what threads are going to be used where. That's going to take a whole lot longer.
And that's the table where you're hauling out threads from all over the store, laying them out next to the canvas. This one, no, not this one, not this one, yes, this one, that goes on for, you know, not 10 minutes.
Oh no.
Yeah. And then you get all done and you think you got it all set and you lay out the threads you selected. Nope, this one doesn't work. Yeah. And then how much do I need for each area?
Right.
You know, do I need three skeins? Do I need four? Yeah.
So the shop owners are really putting in a lot of extra effort when they do this kind of thing, or have their employees do it, you know, whatever.
Either
And
way.
it's part of the service that they offer. But I can see where, you know, if a shop is maybe, and it's one of those things they probably have to weigh. Do they drive customers away because they add that extra cost on, or do they lose, you know, just barely break even or even lose money because they give this service for free?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a tough decision for a shop owner to make.
Yeah. And that's the thing. If you're in on a Wednesday afternoon when no one else is in the shop, okay, let's play with threads. You drop in on a Saturday, which is the only day, 'cause you work all week, the only day you have, the shop is packed with people and you want somebody to kit it up. You're chewing up labor time for that, but then you're also chewing up sales opportunities because somebody in that shop, one employee, is occupied with you for half hour, hour, when there are customers everywhere looking for help. From a shop owner perspective, how much money is this costing me? And that's, yeah, like you said, that's a tough decision. How much of this can I tolerate and still be profitable? Because, you know, I haven't seen a shop yet that was a charity. they're all there to turn a profit at the end of the day. So it was just, and hearing from a shop owner this, you know, this discussion, it was really, I mean, if you sit and think about it, it's common sense, but you don't think about it. And then when somebody points it out, it's like, holy smokes, yeah. And you say, well, okay, well, that's a shop. Okay, go to Joann Fabrics and try and get that same kind of help. Doesn't
Oh no.
exist, not even close. They don't even have the threads.
No.
And then you say, all right, well, okay, so that's for painted canvas. Take a basic cross stitch thing. And somebody's, you still got to pull the threads. And you can do it yourself if you know the store, and but if you don't know the store, you waste a lot of time. And a shop, you know, a shop owner or an employee can go, well, it's over here, we need this and this, and you can pull them. If they don't have one, then that goes on a list to order. You don't like the colors. All right, now we enter that whole thing again.
Or you want a different fabric.
Yeah.
And yep. then you have to figure out if the colors go with the fabric.
Yep. Now you're down that same path.
Right.
Yep. You're chewing up time. Mm-hmm. You know, and people say, well, you know, do we really need needlework stores? There you go. Mm-hmm. Yes, you do.
Yes, you do.
More than you realize.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep. And you walk in, take for instance, when we were at Kim's, that room she has of all the linens and that rack she has of the bolts of linen.
Yeah.
Okay, now I've got this chart, but oh, look at all these linens. You know, oh, maybe this one, maybe this one, maybe this one. These are laid out on the table. Do the colors work? Like you said, and it goes on and on and on. Mm-hmm. Do that on a Saturday afternoon when the shop's full of people and you get unpopular in a hurry, you know?
And, you know, I don't, you know, you see things about shop owners being snarky or, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But I haven't been in a shop where the shop owners aren't almost too willing to help me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, because I go in and I usually know what I want.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't really want to, but a lot, you know, I go in the middle of the week and they're bored.
Yeah.
They want something to do,
right.
You know, so they want to help me. But yeah, I mean, most of the time shop owners are more than willing to help you do this kind of thing. But I think that we should all as purchasers recognize that they are providing a service that is significant
mm-hmm.
cost to them.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep.
Even if it doesn't show up on your bill, you know, it's coming off of their bottom line.
Yes.
Now, like you said, maybe there's nobody else in the shop and they're more than willing to spend 2 hours with you. Well, they were going to be in there anyway. You know, maybe they were going to be putting stuff away or whatever, but you know, you're in there, you're somebody to talk to. But like you say, on a weekend or if they're open in the evening,
yeah.
when they're busy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and you could also make an argument that a shop owner on a Wednesday, don't know why we're picking on Wednesday, but we'll take Wednesday, you know, it's sitting there. Why not? You know, maybe she was counting on that day to order inventory mm-hmm. for people. Mm-hmm. Or just inventory, get caught up on book work,
mm-hmm.
so she could go home at a reasonable hour that night.
Yeah.
And here you waltz in and suck up 2 hours kidding up a project. A lot of fun, but in the back mm-hmm. of her mind is, okay, now I'm here after dinner. Call yeah. my husband. He's got to bring me in a sandwich for dinner because I got to stay and I got to order these threads. Because these people keep calling me because that one thread for that project is, where is it? You know?
Mm-hmm.
So there's just so many dynamics that enter into this whole thing. And, you know, you can start to see why a shop owner would say, I got to charge $100 to kit this thing up. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I gave you $300 for the canvas. Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Recognize the work that I'm doing to kit this for you.
Yeah. And expertise. You know, that old that old thing, you know, the story we've heard in 5 million versions about a doctor or an engineer who walks up to a motor and hits it with a hammer and that'll be $200. What do you mean $200? You just hit it with a hammer. Well,
yeah, but I know where to hit it with that
right.
hammer.
$5
and
for the hammer.
And which hammer to use.
Yep, that's right, yeah. And then there's your shop owner. Yeah, I know what threads go with what and where to get them and how much you need, and that's all that experience. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Right.
Yeah, so I was really glad Melissa posted that because it really puts a perspective on what so many, I think, you know, walk in, hand them money, walk out with a kit. Well, And oh, and for the record, I have been in more than one shop where it was not the welcoming thing, but that's male in a female world. So
you get that look.
Yeah. Oh, I do.
Did you walk in here by mistake?
Right. Yep.
Or is your wife in here?
Right. Yeah. Where's your wife? Yeah. Oh, she's in the car waiting for me. That's where my wife is at. Yeah, and it's happened where it has happened not too many times, but was in the evening.
Oh.
Like open Thursday night. I've been at a trade show all day and they're open in the evening. What is this male doing in my shop at night? Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so sensitive to that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Where's your wife? Oh, she's in the car. She doesn't care. But no, I've had it, but that's a whole different kettle of fish there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's just, you know, that in this whole thing of, do we need shops? Shops are dying off. You know, you don't have one near you to speak of. It's a road trip for you to get to a shop. Mm-hmm. I have three, but I live near a major city. Mm-hmm. And, you know, do they have value? They have value that we probably, well, I know we don't see. We don't see and most don't appreciate what.
Yeah, and it's not just stitching. It's quilting, it's knitting, mm-hmm. crocheting, you know, whatever. You can get the yarn and the quilt fabric and all that at a big box store. But I'll tell you, the quality is not the same and the service sure is not the same.
Right. Yep.
And, you know, maybe it's fine if you're just learning, but you know, somebody that's just learning really can benefit by the shop owner's knowledge and expertise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you just don't get that at the big box stores.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. In the kitting process in a needlework shop, how many tips would you pick up just in the general conversation if you were paying attention? Just imagine. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it even sounded like in this case, the person wanted the shop owner to just kit it up and then she was going to come and pick it up.
Yeah.
Is that the way you read it?
That was the sense I got. Yeah.
She wasn't even going to be there to take advantage of the. Well, right. And, you know, everybody's busy and,
right.
You know, you don't know.
Yeah. But then, is that, I'll kit it up. Okay, I got to stay after dinner, come back after dinner tonight to kit this up because she's going to pick mm-hmm. it up tomorrow. Yeah. Yep. And then they pick it up and I don't really like that color. Oh, geez. You know. Okay. Yeah. Or I was looking in a stitch book and now I'm thinking I'll do this stitch. All right. Well, mm-hmm. you need another skein for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. Well, do I need all these skeins? Yeah, you do. Yeah. And if you're smart, you'll get a couple extras of the major colors, just if you're smart. Because Sunday night when you run out of thread and the shops closed on Monday because they were open on Saturday. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so buy these extra skein up front. Yep.
Yeah, and then be prepared for it to be a different dye lot.
Yeah, there's the other thing. Right, yep. Yep, all of it, yeah. So that was just a good stop and think thing. And I think Melissa said in her post she was even hesitant to write it. And I can see that from a shop owner perspective because to some it would be you're just complaining. Mm-hmm. You know, don't you appreciate business? You're just complaining. No. And she did it. It didn't sound like complaining to me at all. It was, you know, this is the reality of what we're dealing with here. And if someone wants to charge as a shop owner, I understand why. I'm not going mm-hmm. to do that, but I understand mm-hmm. why. And here are all of the reasons I would list from someone who's not going to charge for why you would charge.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And of course you could take that canvas to somebody else and get them to kit it, but that's not entirely fair to them because
No.
The canvas is where they make their profit,
Right. Yep.
not the threads.
Nope.
And especially if you want them. And so I know shop owner, there are shop owners that don't want to do that, and I understand that.
Yeah.
You know, it's
Yep.
tough.
Yeah, and I'll
But of
tell.
course, you might go from one shop to the next and not find that canvas at the next shop.
Right.
I mean, you almost certainly won't,
Right.
because there are so many different canvases
Yeah.
out there.
Yeah. Well, and how many towns within, say, 15 or 20 miles have, in this case, two painted needlepoint canvas shops? I mean, we do here in St. Louis, but that's a fluke. That's an absolute fluke.
In Chicago, I think there's three or four.
Yeah, in the metropolitan area.
In the whole metropolitan area.
Yeah,
Yeah.
but that's a day trip, even if you live in the area.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to hit them all, because there's one way up north, one in Naperville.
One downtown,
Yeah.
and I'm not sure where the other one is. I can think of it of four for sure.
Yeah.
And then there's some cross stitch shops in the area too. Yeah, so that's a, you know, if you want to hit everything, you're going to be there a couple of days.
Right. And in between each of those are tollways, heavy traffic, and a lot of stop and go. Yeah. Yeah.
Parking costs if you go
Yeah.
downtown.
Yep. Yeah. 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 Sounds like a bounty, but not.
No.
No. No. No, it's just it really kind of just shed a little light on these shops. And I'll tell this story that I've told 100 times. The day I was in a local shop on a Saturday, place is packed with people, and the owner helped two women buy charts and linen. And then they closed the sale, and as they're turning around to walk out, one says to the other, now we go to Joann's to get the threads. You know? Yeah. After the shop owner had spent on a busy day probably an hour helping them get linen, find the charts, answer questions. Yeah, all right, now we'll go buy the thread at Joann's, and loud enough that the owner could hear. Oh man, I'll never forget that because it's just
It's so cruel.
inconsiderate. Oh yeah,
Inconsiderate, yeah. Rude. Just, yeah.
yep. Yeah. And then, how much are you really saving by the time you drive there and pick out the colors that aren't all there and that every kid who's walked by has run his hands over and yeah. But oh man, it just to do that to that shop owner is just oh. Yeah.
Yeah, so
Yeah.
sad.
Yeah. So, well, anyway, there we go. Thank you, Melissa, for posting that because
Yeah.
it was eye-opening. I didn't. I mean, you kind of realize how much thread a shop has, how much inventory they have tied up in thread, but you don't really until you stop and think. Every skein, say a skein of silk, sells for $5, $6. They buy it for three. And yes, folks, the markup is healthy, but you got to pay for lights in the building and employees and everything
Shipping.
else. Yeah. You can
Yeah.
see how, man. Well, look what a typical kit of any kind, what you'd spend on thread for one. And then they got to have every color of two or three or four lines. Man, that's a lot of inventory. It's a lot of money tied up in thread. Oof.
And then you add the canvases on top of it,
Yeah.
and all of the other stuff, the stitch books,
Yep.
stretcher bars, tacks, beads,
Yep.
needles. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. And you got to have it all because if a person comes in and buys a project, you want them to walk out with absolutely everything they need to go home and start stitching. And if you don't have that one thing,
Right.
the whole project stopped in its tracks tax. Mm-hmm. If you don't have tax, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay, I got all this. Wow, this is great. When are you going to start stitching it? Well, they had to order the tax. It'll be another 4 days. Jeez. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. And when the tax come in, pro tip, buy 3 or 4 boxes.
Mm-hmm.
Just stick them in a corner somewhere. You'll be glad you had them sooner or later. Yeah, guaranteed.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yep. And use a lot of tacks.
A ton of them. Be like Cindy.
Mm-hmm.
Be like Cindy. Yep. All right.
Yeah.
That's it. Sunday is Jeanette Tombaugh, Mountain Peak Studio. And we'll be back with a Stitch Hour next Wednesday. And mark down on your calendar, 2:00 Eastern time on the YouTube channel right here. Sunday or Christmas Day, Christmas Day, the 25th, 2:00 Eastern time. Join us if you're alone. We'll kill some time for you. Guaranteed. Yep. All right. Thanks for listening.
Bye.